Amen. Go to the book of Matthew chapter 9. We've been talking, last Sunday we talked about this woman that showed so many qualities in her life and to press through and the crowd, to go beyond the reasonable effort, got down low, reached out, and touched the Master. And she knew in her heart, she believed in her heart, that if she could touch him, she would be made whole. And it worked out, it turned out exactly like she had hoped. Amen. She, after a 12-year struggle with sickness, the Lord gave her the grace to be healed. And we'll read that this morning again, and we'll study this right on down through, and try some way, you know, to. The Bible is not just a study of history, like you would study in Virginia history and learn about. It's good to know those things, but they have no power in them. To know who the first governor of Virginia is, anybody remember? See? We can study history. We can know that this week was the, what, how many years of landing on the moon? How many remembers that? One small step for man, or something like that. One giant leap for mankind. How many was alive when that happened? Y'all remember that? Half the people on the mountain didn't even believe it. Ain't no such thing. Ain't nobody on the moon. Yeah, but I think it happened. Half still don't believe it, and really, it probably don't matter. What that guy that landed on the moon, he said that they thought when they landed that the dust on the moon would be so thick they, you know, they wouldn't be able to stand on it, and but they could, they did. But I tell you, it ain't the moon that worries me today. How about you? It's the old earth. Brother, I'm telling you, we are in trouble in as far as this earth goes. But if we can hang on to the Lord. Y'all believe it's just my job to tell you this? But it's true, you know what? If we can hang on to the Lord, it'll be all right after a while. Now, I know I'm not going to be capable this morning to get this to you like you need it. But if we could adopt some of the courage and faith, amen, that this woman had in her life. And let me read it again. The Bible said, a woman which was diseased with an issue of blood 12 years. She came behind him and touched the hem of his garment. For she said within herself, if I but touch his garment, I shall be whole. Do you ever talk to yourself? This woman said within herself. Brother, sometimes, you remember when David came to Ziklag and the Amalekites, I believe, it came in or whoever it was and wiped them out and carried all their women and children off. The men that had been so loyal and faithful to him, they got stones. They said, we'll just kill David for taking us off in this crazy battle and causing us to lose. And brother, they turned their back on him. The Bible said David called for the linen ephod. I don't really understand all that was about, but that's a prayer garment of some kind, and a priestly garment. He called for that ephod, and he said, I'm going to encourage. The Bible said he encouraged himself in the Lord. Do you ever have to pull yourself up by your bootstraps, as the old saying goes? Amen? And said, well, I'm going to believe God. This woman, when all else failed, she went to the doctor, and the doctor told her, and you know, a lot of times we put a whole lot of stock in those men that have studied so much and have seen it and watched patterns That's what a lot of medicine is just watching behavior and charting and looking and pondering and saying, well, most cases, this is what that is. And this man came out to her after 12 years of, amen, spending every dime she had. You ever get hope? Tell you, and listen now, church, and I'm not going to take a long time on this. Amen. But listen, you may be there even this morning. Come to the end of your road, don't have anything else in your own pocket to give. And then you've got to develop. And listen, this has got to be the decision we make. Amen. Even though I've spent all that I have, amen, I've rather grew worse. Isn't that kind of bad? Amen. You know, sometimes people go to church like that. They come expecting a whole lot from church, and they're like that children of Israel when they were following on Moses, you know, and Moses with his staff, and they followed him through the Red Sea and out into the wilderness. And then, amen, after going along so long, the natural course took on them. They got thirsty, and they wanted something to drink. And they couldn't find anything. So they, like human nature, they begin to complain and begin to bicker and say, hey, he brought us out of here. That's the cause of the thirst. And, well, they come upon a pool of water. Everybody was happy again. Praise the Lord. Amen. Church is great. Hallelujah. Boy, we got a great church. And then when they all went down to the water hole and took a big drink, it was bitter. You ever went to church? I don't know why I even went to church. Just a dead and dry. I could have done just good sitting on the porch. Huh? You ever hear anybody say that? Anybody close to you? Huh? Yeah. But, you know, sometimes even when you go to church and sir, they don't sing the song you want to sing, the preacher that you like to hear wasn't preaching and the temperature wasn't just right and it's a little hot and they turned the fans on and blowed your hairdo up. Huh? How could you have peace like that? Huh? Oh, I feel the Holy Ghost right here. I know you don't believe that, but I do. I feel him right here. Brother, that woman, when she looked at herself, she probably looked in a mirror, Brother Mac. She had dark circles under her eyes. She was weak and frail. It'd been 12 long years. She spent everything she had, but the Bible said she rather grew worse. But just because it's getting worse don't mean that it can't reverse. Hallelujah. Woo! Y'all feel that yet? Listen to this. The Bible said she said within herself, before it ever happened, she had it within herself. Before it ever transpired. You know, sometimes I've shouted just because I felt in me what was going to happen. It hadn't happened yet, but I felt victory, and so I just went shouting. Huh? You ever do that? I know it ain't been lately. I know what you're saying. Huh? Might be before this service is over. Now listen, y'all going to help me? Listen to this. The Bible said, she said within herself, if I may but touch his garment, I shall be whole. Now we can apply this to physical, and we can apply this to spiritual things, but really, and I told you last Sunday, I do not want to get off of the fact that this was a physical healing of her body. And I've told this, how can I not repeat, but do you remember me telling you about listening to that man on the radio that they put on there, he was lost his voice, and he was getting on there, and he was going, they called him before his voice completely left, they told him he was getting ready to lose it completely. He was a Bible teacher, and they put him on the class, they gave him a class to teach, and of all things, Brother Mark, did you hear that? Isaiah 53 was what he was teaching on that morning. And he actually was teaching about how this, where it said, by his stripes you are healed. He was actually, I remember it, he was actually teaching that this was not a natural physical healing as much as it was spiritual, you know, talking about spiritual healing. And while he was telling that, the Lord healed him. How many heard that tape? I mean, he started, his voice was just like this right here. And then as he got to talking, and he almost was talking contrary to what was happening to him. He was talking about this was all a spiritual thing, talking about spiritual. And then while he was doing that, God was showing him, it ain't only that, buddy. I'm going to heal you right here while you're talking. He was a Baptist, and I never heard such shouting Baptists. When that guy got done, when he was hollering at the top of his voice, praise the Lord, I don't know what's happened to me, but I believe I'm healed. And them Baptists were hollering, woo-hoo! Just like some of you to holler if something happened to you this morning. Y'all act worse than Baptists sometimes. I mean, you know, we just get down, don't we? Get quiet. That's all right. That's okay. It ain't all noise, amen. If it was, we'd just get us a bunch of hot rods and rib the motors up. If it's all noise, but it ain't all noise. But I'll tell you what. Amen. This woman came. It wasn't a spiritual need, amen, that she had. It was a physical need. And she touched his garment. Brother Christ was so holy, and he had so much virtue. And you remember last Sunday, and I'm just kind of recapping what we did, but you remember last Sunday that we talked about that word virtue. Amen. Living good is not just keeping all the rules. It's being good from the inside out. Amen. When you are really living good, it's good to be around you. Because not only have you got the outward external and the rule book kept, and you ought to keep the rules in that black book. And I'm going to tell you, it ought to come from the depths of your heart. Amen. And it ought to make you good. Living good ought to make you good. Amen. And that's what this goodness is. Jesus had a virtue in him, a goodness in him, a holiness in him. Amen. That did good. Amen. And he said, I feel, amen, virtue is gone from me. I feel it go out of me. Amen. And we could ask the question, amen, did he know? How much did he know? Because he said, who touched me? Amen. And you know, when you think of deity, you think, well, he's bound to know everything. But whatever reason he said, he asked that woman or that crowd, them disciples, who touched me? I wish we could leave this house this morning. Amen. Oh, my heart was burdened this morning for my church. Amen. As I sought the Lord for you and for myself. Amen. If we could just touch the Lord in this house this morning and believe. Amen. You know why people quit coming to the altar? Because they don't believe they're going to get anything when they come. And you know why people keep coming to the altar? Because they know if I don't get it tonight, I may get it tomorrow night. Because the Lord is faithful. Amen. This woman didn't say, well, if I touch him, amen, it ain't going to hurt me none if I don't get better. She said, if I touch him, I'm going to be made whole. And brother, that faith and that energy and that effort turned into a great miracle in her life. Woo! I want to tell us here at the church, in all of our troubles and trials and heartache, if we'll have faith like that, and if we'll have an energy and effort like that, and a zeal like that, we can get that. Hallelujah. Boy, I feel the Lord in his house. I wish I was a better preacher out here. Listen to this great word. Listen. Jesus turned him about, and when he saw her, he said, be of good comfort. Thy faith hath made thee whole. And the woman was made whole from that hour. I hope you'll forgive me this morning. Brother, I would like to get a hunger in me to see another miracle. Amen. Sometimes we just hunker down and we say, well, you know, that's this life. We're just going to suffer and sorrow and die and be buried and be glad we live for God because we're going to go to glory. And ultimately, that is the main goal. But brother, listen, God has brought us into a promised land. Amen. With milk and honey. Praise God. We have got to have days of heaven on earth. If we get to heaven, we have got to sit together in heavenly places. We are going to get to heaven on the back of miracles and the promises of God. Amen. Help me now. Amen. And I know we're going to get sick and eventually, you know, we're going to die. We're going to wear down. Now we are. And you know, we're not going to live forever. How many knows we are not going to live forever? Y'all do know that. Amen. But God has made provision. The Bible said, by His stripes, amen, we are healed. Amen. And God has made provision in His Bible. Amen. In James chapter 5, we can call the elders of the church. The preacher preached it Wednesday night. Amen. And we're going to have to pray. Is there any sick among you? Let him pray. That ought to be our first impulse. When we feel a pain or feel queasy or get dizzy, our first impulse ought to be to pray for ourselves. Lord, would you heal me today? Would you give me strength today? Amen, Brother Kenny. Are you feeling better today? Was it last Sunday you came in crooked and you're a little straighter today? Hallelujah. Amen. You say, Brother, amen, listen, don't give up on God. Amen. Don't give up on the miracle working power of God. Amen. It's been 12 years. Amen. And I'm worse than I was to start with. Amen. But if you can touch him this morning, amen, you say, my life is upside down. Oh, hell. Let me preach a little. Amen. Christ makes a difference, or he's not Christ at all. Praise the Lord. Y'all with me? How many's with me this morning? Praise God. We ought to be worshiping God, because I look out here and I see dozens of people sat here. It's been intensive care in hospitals. Amen. You've been there when you didn't know if you was going to make it, and God's brought you out, and here you are sitting right here nodding your head at me, not near as fast as you ought to be. Because God's been good to us. Brother Stilner, amen. It's been a year ago. Amen. It looked like your heart was just so weak. You couldn't put one foot in front of the other. Here you are. Huh? Am I right or not? Listen to this. I'm gonna move on in here. Listen, when Jesus, the Bible said, and the woman was made whole from that hour. Now remember, when Christ healed this woman. Now, I don't know how you want to classify this, but you know, sometimes we get a program down. Now, his program was to go over to Jairus' house and pray for a little girl that had died. He was following Jairus and the disciples. Now, this was not on the program. This woman saw the crowd and pressed through. Huh? It all works together. How many believes in sovereignty and divine providence? See, if Jairus had not had the faith, if Jairus had not had the faith to go to Jesus, then Jesus wouldn't have followed him over. Well, it would probably not cross this woman's path on his way to Jairus' house. It was her opportunity as well as it was Jairus' opportunity. That's the way it is when you come to the house of God. If you get touched, if you get in the line and get blessed, I just feel like I ought to get prayed for. You may feel great, but you just feel like being prayed for. When you get up and get prayed for, somebody back here that's been hurting in their back for days said, well, praise God, I think that, you know, they may be sitting there saying, you know, Lord, if you want me to go get prayer, just have somebody go first. And somebody just says, well, I feel pretty good, but I believe I need prayer here. Y'all out there, how many knows that God ties it all together? Amen. And it's his goodwill, amen, and pleasure to give you the kingdom of God. What is the kingdom of God? It's not meat and drink, but it's love and joy and peace and the Holy Ghost. It's God's will, amen, to put the love of God in you, to put the joy of the Lord in you, amen, to give you victory over sickness and sin, amen, and to let you live in a life of praise. Brother Ingram preached the other night that even when things go wrong, we ought to praise the Lord, but so much the more when things go right. Am I telling you right or not? Now look. This is real important, and I'm just taking my time through here, but notice what he said. The Bible said, when Jesus came to the ruler's house, now we're back on the program, he saw the minstrels and the people making a noise. He come up on Jairus' house. Now, if you've studied a little of this, you know that the Jews were very, in this day, they were very dogmatic about their funerals and things. And they would even hire people to come in and make music and mourn. They'd get people, sometimes it was heartfelt, and sometimes they were just hired to come and cry. Oh, that's what he heard when he came up. That's what he heard. He heard, and you know, sometimes I wonder if the churches across America ain't just hired mourners. Huh? Come to church, and we hear the noise and hear the weeping and moaning. No victory there. The girl's dead. She's going to be dead when they get done mourning. She's going to be dead. What we need is a gospel of life. Amen. They've told for years. Brother L.D. Moore used to tell about going down there. Was it Brother Dillard that was sick? Anybody remember telling Brother Dillard was sick and was dying? Was it Brother Wiley that came in? Claude Wiley came in and making noise and stomping around, and he was laying in the bed about to die, and he went out and to the pond out on the farm, and he caught a bunch of fish and came in and throwed them on the table, cleaned them fish, and he went in there and jumped right up in the bed with old Brother Dillard and said, "I said the Lord sent me here and told me you was going to get up." Brother, when he got done praying for that man, him and Brother Dillard both were running around the house, and the lady was a frying fish. Huh? You say, I believe that. No, that was not in a fairy tale book. That was the real deal. Now listen, you say, well, how are we going to make it through the troubled times we're through? We're going to go back to that kind of faith. Huh? We're going to go back to that kind of faith. I mean, we tiptoe in the emergency rooms and we whisper around and we wait for the doctors to usher us in to the foot of the bed, and we say a silent Excedrin headache number 42 prayer. And we slip on out. Amen. And then we bury them and talk about how good they was, what little time is here on earth. You don't love this preacher today. That's okay. I mean, you loved me last Sunday, so once a month, what can I ask for? Huh? Praise God. Well, I'm going to tell you what. Amen. You say, well, brother, that's right. I'm not a fanatic. I'm working on a health care crisis sermon. I am. I'm working on it. You say, well, I want to hear it. Well, you're going to hear it here in a few days. But I'm going to tell you something. Amen. We're going to die. We're going to get sick. There ain't going to be enough money to heal us. But, brother, there is one, and we can have the faith we need. Amen. Here he came up on the porch. Listen, I don't want our church just to be a bunch of hired mourners to weep and cry over how bad everything is and how we're going to die. I want us to come to the house of God knowing that we're not, that he's not a God of the dead, but he's a God of the living. Hey, now listen to what he's saying. Now stay with me. Give me five more minutes here, and it's chicken time. Listen to this right here. He said, he came and the minstrels were playing their music and making a noise, and he said unto them, give place. Give place. How many of you know what that means? He said, get out of my way. A little arrogant, I think. I mean, I'm like the way he talks. I tell you, God can talk to me any way he wants to say, just as long as he talks to me. He can tell me to sit down and shut up if he wants to. He has. Huh? He come up, and here was all them singers around there, had their violins out playing. We'll meet you over yonder. I don't know what this playing. He said, move out of the way. Well, who is this? I'll tell you what, that's what he needs to say in this service this morning. He needs to come into our service, and he says, look, it's time for you to move back. And then what's that say right there, Brother Josh? Are you right there? What did he say? He gave them some information about this little girl. I'm about done. What did he say? The maid is not dead, but sleepeth. Now, wait a minute. She's not sleeping. Jairus told him when he come, he was dead. But when you're the Son of God, death only means sleeping. Right? That doesn't mean he's going to go in there and tickle her on the bottom of the foot and say, time to rise and shine, sissy. But when it come to the Son of God, amen, he knew all he had to do was say the word. How many believes in this kind of Son of God? You believe Muhammad ever done that? Huh? You believe Buddha ever did that? No. There's only one, Jesus Christ, only one. We either serve him or go to hell. Huh? I said we serve Jesus Christ or we go to hell. I know this is hard on you, but I'm almost done. Listen to this right here. He said to them, look what they did. Now I'm going to close with this right here. He said, the maid is not dead but sleeping. And what'd they do? You see this? Seems like I can hear the world laughing now at us. Ha! Ha! You know, I wouldn't. I'm going to take this right. I'm almost done here. I'm going to close. Listen. I wouldn't want to be caught laughing at God, would you? Huh? If God says she's not dead, she's only sleeping, then you know what I'm going to do? I'm just going to line up with that. But they laughed him to scorn. They made fun of him. They mocked him. Does it ever hurt your feelings, Brother Jeff, when they laugh at you? Huh? It does me. I bristle up thinking, who are they to laugh at me? And then I guess, well, they laughed at him. Why? I tell you, if we go out there in the world, in this crazy world, and they don't laugh at you, but we ought to go home and take another look. It ain't something. Huh? That's right. I tell you, people, I don't want to get out on people. They are funny, though. But I don't want to just make fun of them in the sense that. But I tell you, the devil can talk people into doing some mighty strange things. Huh? But how many knows who's going to get the last laugh? Is that not the right way to put it? But the Bible does say God is going to laugh. He's going to make derision. You know, that means he's going to just crack up at them. He's going to laugh he's going to mock them when their fear comes. He's going to laugh at their calamity. You say, bro, that don't sound like God. You need to read your Bible. The Bible said, well, Jesus went in, what did he do? And I'm about done. What did he do? The Bible said he went in and he said, give place, get out of the way, she's going to live. And they laughed him to scorn. You know what happened to the laughers? What did he say he did with them? What did it say, Brother Josh? I may have jumped it here. Listen here. Let me read it to you. He says, and he said unto them, give place. They laughed him to scorn. But when the people were put forth, what's that mean? He put them out. Get out. Get out. If you were in that situation, would you want to be one that stayed in or got out? I like to witness this dead girl raising. But you know, if we laugh in our spirit, if we look at our circumstance and say, God can't do nothing about this. Bah! God can't make me better. God can't do this for me. Amen. We're going to find ourselves on the outside looking in. Now, I know that when God told Sarah, Abraham, that they were going to have a kid when they were old, they was nearly 100, wasn't he? He said, you're going to have a young'un. Well, Sarah laughed. And God said, Sarah, why'd you laugh? Oh, I didn't laugh. And she was still sniggering a little. Probably still had a goofy grin on her face when he asked, why'd you laugh? Oh, me laugh? Not me, God. Oh, I heard you laugh. But it's going to happen just like you said, like I said it was going to. Guess what they named her son? Huh? Named her son Laughter. Boy, isn't that something? Every time she got out on the porch to call Isaac in, it reminded her of the time she laughed at God. Huh? Have y'all ever done that? You thought, well, God can't do this. And you almost, in your heart, you almost chuckled, what am I doing thinking that God can get me out of this mess? And here you are. So you name that Laughter. Every time she went out on the back porch, supper, Laughter, supper's ready. Then she had to chuckle a little. Oh, boy. To think that I ever doubted God. You know, preacher Wednesday night preached on prayer, and that is as old a sermon as she and needed as more as anything we've ever heard. He preached it great. I'm preaching faith to you today. That's an old sermon, but we need it more than we need anything else. Prayer and faith, we need it. Huh? Without faith, it is impossible to please God. You know what their laughter told me, Brother Tommy? And I wish I could do better. God bless. Y'all deserve better than this. But that laughter told me that they didn't really believe he could do it. How many believes he can do it this morning? Think of whatever trouble you got in your life, whether it's physical, whether it's, you know, spiritual, if it's economic, if it's whatever, the job situation, unemployment over 10% now. I remember when I came here to pastor in 83, unemployment rate in Buchanan County was over 20%. That's a hard time. It's up now. We had good time of working, and God has blessed this church here. There have been a few men, you know, through the years laid off at different times and out, but not many, Brother Zane, compared to the 20% unemployment. It was over 20%. Buchanan County for years had the highest unemployment rate of the whole state of Virginia. But God saw us through then, and He'll see us through again. Don't laugh at God. Huh? Don't laugh at the Lord. You say, well, people, you know, we just don't have church like we used to. Well, we do too. You just don't notice. We still shout once in a while. We still preach the same message, amen, of holiness that we heard when I first got in. It's the same deal. It's right there in the book. Huh? Look around this church. There's people here that's been here for 25 years, still right here. Huh? Don't laugh at God. God can still do it. I said, God can still do it. Amen. How many feels like you'd like to touch Him this morning? Got something you want to touch Him about? God bless you. Y'all are the greatest people. Stand with me. God bless you. I love you. I do. I love you. Y'all are good to sit.